I'm Shamita Basu, in for Tanzina Vega. All this week, we're looking at the reopening process here in the U.S. as more and more states roll back measures they put in place due to COVID-19. Georgia is one of the first states to do so. Here's Governor Brian Kemp on April 24th.
We will allow gyms, fitness centers, bowling alleys, body art studios, barbers, cosmetologists, hair designers, nail care artists, estheticians, their respective schools, and massage therapists to reopen their doors.
This past Friday, Kemp took it a step further and lifted the state's stay-at-home order for most of Georgia's residents. The exception is for people who are elderly or considered medically fragile. They need to shelter in place until at least June 12th. For more on this, I spoke to Dr. Harry Hyman, a public health professor at Georgia State University, and Dr. Karen Landman, a practicing physician, epidemiologist, and journalist who reports on medicine and public health based in Atlanta. Here's what Karen told me about the scope of the pandemic in Georgia so far.
We have had a progressively increasing number of cases over the course of the pandemic. The worst affected areas of Georgia do seem to be sort of smaller urban areas where there's a lot of concentrated poverty and a lot of folks sharing a lot of space, and also a difficulty of information penetrating those spaces and resources penetrating those spaces. We have been deeply affected in Georgia, but it's not the same all across the state.
And Harry, we talked a bit about what's behind the push to reopen states on our show yesterday. So what has state leadership in Georgia said about why they want to ease restrictions now?
Well, I think it's important to understand that question in the context of Georgia and Georgia, both politics and policies. You know, Georgia kind of prides itself on this mantra of being number one for business. So the state has a long history of making policy decisions that give preferential treatment to business without really considering the impact on workers and particularly the lives and livelihoods of low-income workers. Just as an example, Georgia still has a minimum wage of $5.15. Now, fortunately, the federal level, which takes precedence, is higher than that, but it gives you a sense of historically how Georgia has valued workers, particularly low-income workers, relative to business. So I think we have a long history of prioritizing the economy and business over the health and wellness of both employees and communities in general. And I think, unfortunately, that's kind of a false choice, but we're seeing that happening all over the country where governors and others are, you know, deciding, do I do what's best for public health or do I do what's best for the economy without recognizing that those are intimately tied together. And the only way to safely open the economy and have it sustainably stay open is to address and have a plan in place to address the public health crisis.
Well, Karen, the governor, Brian Kemp, said that his decision to reopen was based on what he called favorable data. What was the data that he was referring to there?
He was referring to what appeared to be, to the naked eye, a downward slope in cases over the days to week preceding his announcement. Now, it's important to understand that just by its very nature, coronavirus data has a lag built into it. The way we record data now and report data now in Georgia is by the date of symptom onset. So let's say I start having symptoms today. I might wait a couple days to get tested. It might take a couple more days for that test to result, and then a couple more days for that result to get reported to the state. So you automatically have something like a 5 to 7 day minimum data lag built in to all of this testing data. If you look now at the data from the days before he made that announcement, it already looks like we are at minimum seeing a plateau in cases and more likely an increase in cases in the days before. So you can't rely on the data from the past week or two to make any decisions. You need to build the lag into your thinking when you're making these decisions. So I really don't understand how he felt that the data on which he was basing his decision suggested, you know, any clear evidence of a downward slope in cases.
I think the notion that public policy is data driven is a misconception. I think we see policies at federal, state, and local levels every day that don't seem to be aligned with what we know and what we know works. I think, unfortunately, when you continue that practice during a pandemic, it literally has life and death implications.
So the stay-at-home order in Georgia was lifted on Friday. Karen, what was the first weekend like?
I don't know. I was home the whole time. But, you know, I mean, we see pictures and we read reports of people out and about. I saw a video of Jackson Street Bridge, which is a bridge people might remember seeing from The Walking Dead, where there were just people crammed together on this bridge the way they might be for, you know, New Year's Eve fireworks. It just seems that this has sent the signal to a lot of people that it's all over and you can go out and do whatever you want.
Karen, you mentioned testing earlier, and I just want to briefly touch on two of the criteria that states are considering as they reopen, which is testing capacity and contact tracing. Tell us how Georgia is doing with both of those things.
So Georgia has improved its testing capacity. It's not yet at the place where everybody throughout the state, you know, that where all employers can get testing at will. Contact tracing, I also know that our state is hiring contact tracers. I don't know exactly what their timeline is for rolling that out. You know, some states have already begun doing contact tracing, like Massachusetts, and I know a lot of states, most states are hiring for this right now. So, you know, the right time to cautiously reopen is when you have all of those things in place everywhere and everybody can feel as secure as everybody else in the state that if they start to have concern about a hot spot of infection in their community or in their business, that they can close things down, appropriately test and isolate or quarantine people, you know, and have quick access to healthcare for those folks.
There's a little bit of a public misconception about testing, and there's been too much focus on number of tests. And while number of tests is an important metric reflecting the capacity of the state, to really be where states need to be, they have to have adequate testing capacity for every community in every part of the state. And, you know, Georgia, for example, stood up 49 drive-in centers across the state, and they have mobile drive-in centers in some of the rural areas, and all that is great. But the required barrier to entry is access to a car. So if you don't have a private car or access to one, in those situations, you need access to testing.
Harry, you mentioned earlier the sort of tension between the governor and some of the municipalities in this choice to reopen. And I know that the governor is facing some backlash from most notably the mayor of Atlanta. What does the governor's decision mean for counties, for municipalities like Atlanta that may have had their own measures in place or may have wanted to put their own measures in place?
What it means is they're having to work against a powerful counter narrative coming from the governor that it's okay to ease things up. When people hear that message from what they perceive to be a trusted authority, it sends signs and signals to them about what behavior is okay. So it means that in places like Metro Atlanta, where we know there's still a significant community spread, or places like Albany in Southwest Georgia and the surrounding counties where they've been devastated, it means that they don't have the ability at a local level to make decisions based on what they're seeing on the ground. And they have to rely on, you know, messages to people about what's appropriate behavior and trying to provide direction and guidelines to employers about what is and isn't appropriate, both in terms of opening and about what needs to be put in place to protect not only their employees, but also customers and the public. These are also decisions that are on the backs of Black and brown communities, not only in Georgia, but across the country. If you look geographically at who's being disproportionately impacted in New York City and across the country, it's African American communities and other communities of color. So I don't want listeners to think that this is a uniquely Georgia problem. But if you look at the data from Georgia, African Americans make up about 30% of the state population and comprise the majority of deaths from coronavirus.
Yeah, and in thinking about the repercussions of reopening and who that'll impact the most, I'm also wondering what this means for the owners of those small businesses. I mean, Karen, can you talk to this? How are they responding to the governor's decision? And what kind of position does this put them in?
This puts them in an absolutely terrible position. They are forced to make a choice that is best for the public's health without having any better data than our governor does, and also without really having the understanding of what's best for their community. They really can try, you know, and they can certainly hold two things in their head at the same time, that, you know, there's there are two kinds of pain here. There are two kinds of severe impact that they're choosing between, but they're really having to make a choice that they should not be having to make. This is why we have government. This is why we have the whole ability to have input from around the state. This is why we have representation and why we have public health authorities, so they can take that decision out of the hands of individual business owners whose livelihood is understandably their highest priority, and making a decision that's collectively best for everybody.
What are some of the biggest lessons that other states could learn from looking at how Georgia has chosen to reopen?
Try not to make politics and political gain the center of your communications, nor the center of your decision making. This is a human disaster on a grand scale, and it's just not the time for faffing around with little political grievances, whether you are a community member and a neighbor of somebody who's trying to struggle with these big questions, or the governor of a state.
The first responsibility of government is the safety and security and protection of communities. And until you have a plan, resources, and infrastructure in place to ensure the safety, security, and health of your communities, you shouldn't go forward with opening things back up. And I think the requirements of that plan are well known, and the requirements include targeted policies and strategies to those communities that you know are being disproportionately impacted.
Dr. Harry Hyman is a public health professor at Georgia State University, and Dr. Karen Landman is a practicing physician, epidemiologist, and journalist based in Atlanta. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.